Could be as long. It could be as long as it could be the year, actually.
You know what? I would recommend Margaret Morris for as long as she wishes to be the chair.
I second
that. Well, you know, this is part of the reason for doing it this way, to get away from this. You know, in the past, it was always appointed by the council president. And, you know, some people were very reluctant to do things. That's why I'd rather have people who are actively interested in doing these various committees. Anyway, to go ahead, any other candidates? So was that a unanimous vote for Margaret? Hello? Yes, Ronnie?
Yeah, all in favor.
Okay,
all
Margaret. In favor, definitely. It's now, it's now your meeting. And I will.
Thank you very much.
Should I? Excuse me one second. Do you want me to make you host? But if you can't do all those other things, do you want me to hold on?
No, I think you should stay host because I can't figure out what's wrong with the
room. Okay.
No, I want to thank you all very much. And I am very interested actually in chairing this committee. What I think that I can bring, and it's not even just as chair of the committee, it's just in the council. What I hope that I can bring to our discussions is the fact that I have for many, many years now, 20 years, worked with state and federal agencies. And I live and breathe the very boring world of compliance and regulation and, you know, really dry language. And so that is something that I do. So thank you for that. As your chair, I do lead a lot of meetings with the state of New Jersey at the moment, hopefully not for too much longer. But my approach tends to be open discussion. Everybody has the same voice, and we will be respectful. We will talk about ideas. We won't talk about people. We will disagree. And we will present why we think X rather than Y, and you know what the rationale is. And I'm hoping that that's what we can do. And so I did try to look at. I've been attending the legal committee meetings for a while, actually, as a member of the public. My impression of the legal committee is that, for the most part, the work that we have to do is essentially assigned to us by the Common Council. So there is a decision that we need to look at a regulation relating to X. Sidewalks is on the agenda at the moment. So that's passed off to the legal committee, and then it's our responsibility to do the research, to come up with an appropriate regulation, to come up with something that might work, and then to work with legal counsel. You know, we craft a draft, we work with legal counsel to come up with something that will be reasonable. It then goes back to the Common Council. Common Council looks at it, and then they are the deciding group with regard to what we do. So we're not really the decision makers. We're the worker bees who put the material together and get it in a format that is acceptable to the council and to our legal counsel, and then to the Common Council. So that's where I think we're going. So in preparation for tonight, I had gone back through, and thank you, Tom, for getting the minutes posted for the legal counsel for 2021. I went back through all of the minutes and pulled out what are the things that are outstanding. So for a lot of us here tonight, we're new. And what we need to try not to do is reinvent the wheel. So I made a list of things that I think are still outstanding. In the last meeting, which I think, Tom, you chaired, you went around and said, what do we still have that's out there? So of the things that are out there, I have listed the sidewalk law or sidewalk issue. Let's call it the sidewalk issue. We're still not clear where we're going with that. There's also an issue relating to inclusionary zoning, which we need to research and address. There are many issues relating to ADA compliance. Some of them relate to sidewalks. Some of them relate to City Hall. So there's ADA compliance issues that we need to address. There are it's been a kind of perennial issue relating to parking. A couple of years ago, the city code changed. There had been a fairly rigid code relating to parking, particularly with regard to any new developments, where there had to be at least one parking space for every unit. That was eliminated a couple of years ago. And so now we don't really have parking requirements. And it has become, in the last couple of years, I think, an issue for a lot of residents of concern around parking. So that is something we need to, I think, tackle. Relates to alternate side of the street, which Jane Trombley brought up multiple times, actually, in the last year. Relates to new development. And actually, this really folds into whether or not we need to be looking at the code. And whether, you know, the old code that we had was not good for, it was excessive. It was not good for business. It was not good for any kind of new development. But then throwing everything out put us into a different situation. So I do think that parking and code is something that is still an outstanding issue. Which brings us to city code. This was brought up, and I think Rebecca may have brought it up in the last meeting, that our city code probably, and I know, Ryan, that you've been looking at this, our city code really needs to be reviewed and looked at and brought up to speed. And that's kind of a big undertaking that maybe is appropriate for this committee. I personally, when we had the issue around the rezoning for R2 and R4 in December, we recall that, Tom, I went back to the code of what was allowed in each of the various zones, and I found it almost impossible to read. So I developed a spreadsheet because you go to R2 and it says X, Y, and Z is allowed. Then you go to the next level and it says whatever's in R2 and then also this. And then you go to that, whatever was in the other one. And so I started developing a spreadsheet of what is actually meant in reality. And I think some of that kind of detailed work in reviewing the code, putting things in tabular form so that it's readable to the public would be good. But also, Ryan, I think that you have found a lot of things that are outdated when you started trying to review the code. So that's
an issue. Can I share a couple of those, Margaret?
Oh, please do. Yes.
Section 210-5 regulates steam whistles. Section 161-1, circa 1928, regulates water and air towers to fill your automobile. Section C22-19 prohibits horse blocks and horse hitching posts from blocking the sidewalk. And then the other one is subsection C22-13. It's the duty to clean the streets, but essentially to lay dust.
Yes,
that's the one I was telling you about. One. Yeah, like yeah,
I love the dust.
I will submit my resignation if you come after my hitching posts.
Right.
I like dust. I have no problem with laying dust.
Margaret, I think Tom was waving. Yeah.
Tom has control. I don't have control.
Oh, sorry. Well, in that case, two things. One is in terms of the code, I'm hoping to have on this February agenda doing a comprehensive plan. A comprehensive plan will definitely address issues of the code. But it's great if you guys can identify things you want changed. And one thing I want to ask Crystal, since she's here, Vicky has been very concerned with getting the word changed from alderman and other gender-based language in the code. And I'm not sure if there's an easy way to do that, I wonder if there's like a search you can do to the code, since it is, you know, online, where you can just find all the words that are gender-based and change them, including, of course, changing on all our published work, alderman to either alder or council member. Does that sound?
My preference on that, Tom, would be alder person.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Margaret.
I would like to see us going to gender neutral.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, do you think that's a...
You can do that. You're going to have to go through the same, because you are essentially amending your code. You're still going to have to go through that same procedure. I have, you know, worked with municipalities before where we've done it with like codifications, and we've put together codifications. There is a public hearing on it. It's pretty minor because what is being changed is not real substantive changes. And yeah, absolutely. You can do it that way. And if you're looking to do something more in depth, like Tom, when you're talking about, Margaret, you were talking about some of the zoning, I think. The
uses. There's a lot in the code that, like some of the stuff that Ryan has brought up. What I was doing on the zoning was actually really more, I live and die by grids and spreadsheets. And so when I was trying to make any sense of the pages and pages of what was allowed in the various zones, the only way that I could make any sense of it was by putting it into a spreadsheet and listing, okay, these are all of the various things that are allowed. And then putting a check mark by zone as to an R2, X, Y, and A, B, and C are allowed. The next one, it's whatever was in R2 plus D and E. And then you go to the next one, and it's everything that was in the previous one and also F and G. So I was just trying to rationalize what's there. I wasn't necessarily even trying to say we need to change the zone.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's currently presented and formatted, it's almost impossible to understand.
And if you're looking at a general like overhaul of the code, particularly when it comes to zoning, you will see a lot of municipalities use exactly what you're saying, like a chart, a use chart.
Yes, that's right.
Attached to it,
yeah.
Which is a quick reference guide that they'll appendix to the code. But typically, just like what Tom said, typically the first thing that you're going to do, your comp plan, and I was looking at that recently because of that ADK application that was, or you know, the presentation that was coming before the council about talking about zoning changes. Well, one of the first things the council wants to look at is technically your comp plan to see, you know, what was envisioned with the uses and the development in the future of the city. And your comp plan hasn't been updated for, I want to say, has it been 20 years?
20,
it's
an years. 19 yeah. years.
Incredibly long time.
Yeah.
So it's time, you know, before you guys even start attacking zoning, I know you're talking about total code, but before you really get into the zoning, what you really want to do is you want to do a comp plan update first. And it's possible, and Tom, this is something that I'm not sure, because I am still new to the city, what resources are available, but typically you can try to find like grants that might be able to help fund that, because we have
a partial grant already that we got this past year, and the rest I've talked to Heather, our treasurer, can be funded through our ARPA funds. So I'm hoping to put that together for this February's meeting so we can start getting it going right away.
Yeah, because planning consultants are huge asset when you're going through that process.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I guess, Crystal, the thing that I'm kind of starting several steps back from what you're talking about, which is that the way everything is written right now, you can't even figure out what the zone is. You can't even figure out what the code is. So I'm just trying to, at least for now, lay it out so that we know what the code is. Because it's actually incredibly difficult to figure out what is allowed in which zones, because everything keeps referring back to previous, go back to section XYZ. And before we can even talk about rezoning, we need some clear description of what the current zoning is, because that's actually very, very difficult to decipher from how our code is currently written. I'm just trying to kind of, let's lay a map here first and understand this is the status quo. And now we can talk about, then we can talk about the issues you're talking about, which are related to comprehensive planning. I'm just trying to figure out what the code is.
Sure. And I would just say that I would caution that if you're going to go in and actually possibly look at just making a, almost like a formatting change that way, like taking all the uses and putting them into like a use chart, The only thing I would be mindful of is that there are costs associated for that with the city if you're actually going to do it formally and actually make it a formal revision of the code before you go down the next step to actually review the whole zoning code. And that's something that you may want to do maybe as a working product internally while you guys are looking at the code, as opposed to having to go through the expense of making a formal change like that and then having to essentially do it all over again when you guys are actually reviewing the full code again and making substantive changes.
I was actually thinking it more as a working product because at the moment, the moment I'm trying to get my head around what is actually what the zoning codes are. And it's incomprehensible as it's currently formatted.
Margaret,
so I was thinking of this more as something that we would look at. Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
No, there are people with hands up. Do you want me to handle that, or can you see it?
I can't see anything. Can I just finish my tickler list of things that we're
outstanding,
and then we'll talk, right? So we talked about the ADA stuff. We've just talked about the fact that there is certainly room for reviewing the city code, and Ryan has been working on his version of trying to make sense of it. Within that code discussion, the CAC brought up a request, I believe, Tom, in the December meeting around a tree ordinance and DPW. So like that's kind of, I connected that up to code issues. The parking thing, which I've just mentioned, would roll into talking about the city code. The other item that is outstanding and open from last year, but I think it has moved forward, is speed limits. I know that there are certain streets where we are looking at reducing the speed to 25 miles per hour.
That's done.
That's right. But there may be going forward, there may be other
streets. Correct. We can add to it.
Work in progress, right?
Yep.
So there was the speed limit issue, which I see is in progress. And then again, the CAC also had a tree ordinance issue that they brought up in the December meeting. So those are the outstanding issues that I'm just bringing forward tonight as things that either in December or in the meetings prior to December were flagged as ongoing issues for this committee. And so, just one other thing, Crystal, I do want to mention to the team as a group. Tom did make clear, I can't remember which meeting, Tom, this is a point of information. City attorney and the whole attorney approach is now on a hourly basis. And so one thing that we need to make sure that we do is work in a consistent and efficient manner to use attorney advice. We would prepare draft documents, we would put the legwork in and then submit for review, but we can't just call Crystal up anytime. We need to be efficient and reasonable in our approach to use of attorney time. That was just a point of information that Tom brought up in one of the last meetings. And that's my summary of where we were at the end of last year.
I'm sure Crystal will respond to that in terms of phone calls, too.
Actually, I was going to say that. So if you guys have any questions, please don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call me. I'm not going to charge the city for every phone call we're having just to try to, talk out an issue or answer a question, because that's kind of crazy, to be perfectly honest. With the legwork and stuff like that, some of that might, will cause time, take time and research and that sort of thing. Please, if you've got a question, if you, don't pause to pick up the phone and give me a call, because sometimes we can save a lot more time with just a quick conversation too.
Yep. So Tom, now you can handle all of the hands.
Okay. Ronnie has his hand up.
Thanks. My point was basically to tie into that whole figuring out the zoning. I've seen when there are proposals submitted, there's actually a map that floats around. Is there already a map prepared, or are these kind of handled? Yeah, so maybe what Margaret is kind of trying to summarize, we can try to work with that map and
that. The map identifies the zones, but it's not going to tell you what goes on. I mean, it'd be a way to sort of help organize it. Yes. And you can find that, by the way, on the code enforcement page, the zoning.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think that would be a good resource.
I was looking, when I was doing my spreadsheet, which I haven't finished, I was actually looking at that map. And to my amazement, I discovered that I live in a commercial zone. I didn't know that. So the commercial zone runs down the middle of, I live on Union Street, runs down the middle of Union Street. And my side of Union Street, which is closer to Warren, is zoned commercial. And the other side of the street is zoned residential. So it was actually, it's a very interesting map.
It is.
And so,
Theo has his hand up.
Just two things, Margaret. It's amazing that you're doing the work and helping visualize the code enforcement. That sort of linear PDF is just a wasp's nest of conflicting directions. So there has been some talk, both in email communication, just about starting a technology committee or having breakout committees for different projects. And I just wanted to say that I think having some sort of way of visualizing this code, the city code, would be a great first priority for the committee, because I think, you know, we don't have to problem solve this here, but I just think there's a much better way to access the spreadsheet and access, bringing in a developer to help figure that out. And then I guess just secondly, because it just seems so fundamental, is how much do we have with the current outstanding grant for the comprehensive plan, and how much of the ARPA funds do we have to use towards the comprehensive plan?
Tom, I think that's a question for you.
The grant is, I believe, $67,500, which means to get a good comprehensive plan these days, they say the going rate is $250,000. So subtract that from $250,000. I guess that's what, $187,500, something like that.
And so ARPA, Tom, you're saying you would take that from ARPA?
Yes. Heather has said it's definitely one of the ways we can use the ARPA,
right,
instead of the general fund. In fact, my original idea was to reach out to various sources, and it was Heather and Peter Bujano who said, let's use the ARPA funds, because that's really, in that realm of what they can be used for.
Well, yeah, it might be good to actually have those other sources, because, in my own preliminary research, it seems like they might actually be more than $250,000. So I think just having some other stuff
I'm curious about it. I mean, we'll see when, because a standard RFP will go out, we'll get proposals. We don't tell, we don't say this is what we have. They come in with numbers at some point. And then if some come in really high and we need more money, we'll figure out if and how we can do that. But I'm not sure $250,000 is a very generous way of looking at it. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Dewan, you have something. Oh, sorry, Margaret. Go ahead.
Can I respond to Theo?
Yeah.
There has been talk about the technology committee, and I know Art has talked a little about this as well. To me, that is a kind of a platform solution thing. I don't think that's really within the purview of the legal committee per se. I think that we need, I absolutely agree that we need to move towards more current use of technology. But I think that the areas of expertise that will be required to do that, we need to look at other sources. I see the legal committee as being more about content, and the technology committee as being more about providing us with a platform to present that content. And I'm not sure that we're the platform.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, absolutely. I was saying the same thing. I think, would love to talk about platforms and legal committee, but I understand it's probably not the place to do that. So
no, I'm getting the message. People would like a technology committee, and we'll talk about that formation next. I mean, not at this meeting, but we'll do it. I mean, this is really a better way of going about some of these committees anyway, you know, that people actually, I mean, and I assume you're going to have a lot of issues that you want to pursue on a technology committee, because what we don't want is another free-floating committee that just has to come up with ideas to justify itself, which is what's kind of happened in the past. Dominic would like to speak.
Thank you. I don't know if this is time, Margaret, but just that you bring Nick a list with things that's going on with the state boundaries. I'm sure that the legal committee is going to start the process of exploring our boundaries, our new boundaries, our ward boundaries.
Correct? Dominic, I'm thinking of doing an ad hoc committee directly on that, that will then have to sort of pass through the legal committee. Because I think we need a smaller group just to like work on it. I mean, all the legal committee can take it on. Also, either way, whatever you people decide, the point is we have to have something in place by July.
Right. Can it start with legal?
Sure.
Dominic, you're referring to the census data, correct?
Correct.
Yes, because we had to change our boundaries a little bit.
That is something we need to address.
Yeah, I guess you should. I guess it should be a legal committee. No, forget an ad hoc. Let's just, and it's got to be pretty high on your agenda if you're going to take it on.
Yeah, it does. We
have Crystal, which I think she's going to be a great asset.
So, Dominic, I know that Steve Dunn, who, like, I had worked on the Fair and Equal back in the day when, it, you know, I guess that was 4 or 5 years ago. And Steve Dunn posted on his social media some various maps. I don't know if we want to talk about it tonight, but does anyone have any opinions on the various scenarios that he presented?
Well, yeah, one of them completely disenfranchised people from the terraces from the first ward. It's a horrible idea.
So you're talking about the one that unites the terraces as in one group?
Yeah, puts it onto the second ward. I mean, that's just my one quick response. I didn't really look carefully at what he proposed.
Yeah.
But
I looked at that, Tom, and at the time that we were doing Fair and Equal, there was a lot of argument in favor of keeping the terraces together. The concern, obviously, right now is that we have a supervisor for the first ward who resides in the terraces in the first ward jurisdiction. So there would have to be some that's very, very problematic. And he did point that out.
It is. But, you know, ultimately, you know, that's how redistricting sometimes falls out. When Fair and Equal happened, Ed Cross lost his ward he was in. So I'm not saying that you want to do that. I just think it's a bad idea to take a certain a portion of that community and take it out of the first ward. Forget about the fact that the supervisor happens to live in that group, in that place, in the terraces. But I think we need all the information compiled somehow so we can, you know, work on it with a good map or something, you know?
No, I do think that's a priority. I agree. I mean, I don't really see the issue of our current supervisor necessarily being a problem in that when you are going to do redistricting, you could set it up so that current incumbents remain incumbents until the next election. I think that's potentially possible, but certainly it is something that we have to address.
But I still wouldn't want to take the terraces out of the first ward. You know, when redistricting in any context, you want to make sure, you know, you don't favor or unfavor or disfavor certain groups, you know? You got to be real cautious.
No, that's correct. That's correct. So other hands, Tom?
No, actually.
Yeah, so before we have our next meeting, I'm going to have to get my technology problem solved here, because I can't see who's participating or who has their hands raised. One thing I will say to the group in general is that since there are, you know, five of us on the committee and Tom, that's six people, I kind of favor people just being able to speak. And it's not like you've got 20 people. We can have a conversation without talking over each other. And if, you know, if somebody is saying something and somebody else is, oh, wait a minute, I think this, you can still have a dynamic conversation with that small number of people. Obviously, I think for opening it up to broader comment, to public comment, and so forth, then we could do the hands raised. But I'd kind of like to see, if everybody's agreeable, I'd kind of like to see the conversation amongst the members of the committee being more natural and dynamic, if everyone is okay with that. I typically run meetings with the state where we have maybe 10, 15 people. We manage to have conversations and not talk over each other. And I think we can probably do that without being too formal about raising hands. I don't know how people feel about that.
I'd try it, Margaret.
Okay.
I think it works if you limit it to committee members, which means not me.
But, I was going to say, I agree with that, because otherwise it becomes a free-for-all.
Yes, we could limit the open conversation to the members of the committee, and then anyone else who wants to comment, etc., we can have hands raised, etc. That's fine. But I think that conversations and discussions are much better when people can just naturally interact with each other. As close to like if we were all sitting in the same room, hopefully that will happen soon. But if we were sitting in the same room, we wouldn't be doing hands raised. We would just conversing.
Yep.
And I'd like to replicate that to the extent possible. So we know what we've got, other than the things that the tickler list we got from last year's minutes. The new tickler item, which Dominic brought up, of course, is the census data. That's really all I have for tonight. And I want to thank you all very, very much. As in chairing this, I'm basically, you know, the dog's body. And it's my going to be my job, I think, to try to help all of us, you know, keep things moving along. But, you know, we're going to function as a team working forward. And, you know, I'm going to be just the person trying to keep it all rolling along.
Do you want to ask the public if they?
Absolutely. But you said you didn't have any hands raised.
No, but worth asking them anyway. Just okay. To see. But no one does seem to be raising their hand. But so no, nobody raised their hand.
Very good.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, wait a second. The last minute.
Go ahead.
Ron Kupnicki has raised his hand. Ron, you're still muted. Ron, you're muted.
Okay, I just unmuted.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that you are going to be allowing public comment at these meetings, because I was a little uncertain about the attitude toward that. So I look forward to being able to comment, and I'm sure other members of the public will also be looking forward to that opportunity. Thank you.
Wow.
So Ron, if you've attended meetings where I have attended, which Tom has had to sit through for a couple of years now, you will know that as a member of the public, I have been a frequent commenter, so I'm all in favor. I would actually like to see more public participation, not less.
Great, thank you. I agree. I wholeheartedly endorse that position. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Ron.
That's it. The only hand.
Motion to adjourn.
Second motion.
All in favor.
Aye.
Thanks. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Good night. Congrats, Margaret. Good night.
Thank you, Margaret. Bye. And Crystal.